This is Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for exploring leadership from the intellect, the heart, and the spirit. Whether you're a leader now or aspire to be a leader in the future, you owe it to yourself to learn about the big ideas that have shaped the careers of compelling communicators, masters of influence, and highly effective leaders. Uncommon Sense for Leaders. Tune in to hear thought-provoking ideas on every aspect of leadership. You can expect dynamic discussions with special guests, quick tips you can apply immediately for better results, and the tools you need to take you from where you are to where you want to be as a leader. Are you ready to crack the code for achieving unprecedented results? Then welcome the host of Uncommon Sense for Leaders, Catherine Carlisi.
Hello, everyone. A bit of a surprise to you. This is actually not Catherine. This is Valia Glitzis, and it is my pleasure and sincere honor to be guest hosting for Catherine once a month. So I will be joining you all on the second Wednesday of every month starting June. And this is a special preview episode because it is our friend Catherine's birthday today. So as a happy birthday, I decided to give her the day off and introduce myself to all of you. So happy birthday, Catherine. Thank you for creating this incredible forum where we are able to connect, to share ideas, to push leadership to a completely different place. And I look forward to having you as my guest on one of the shows that I'll be hosting this summer. So thank you all. It's really my pleasure and sincere honor to be here with you. And I wanted to take today just as a chance to introduce myself, tell you a little bit about my philosophy on leadership. For those of you who follow the show regularly, I've been a guest with Catherine a couple of times, and we've talked of several things, everything from mindfulness in business and leadership to values, to what we stand for, to brand. So the space that I play in terms of leadership is very much from the inside out. And what I mean by that is what my firm is called, which is called the Paradox of Leadership. And how I got to that place is that I just fundamentally believe that leadership isn't necessarily something that comes from the outside in. It's not a title. It's not what role you might hold in an organization. It's not even your tenure, quite frankly. I believe it's something much deeper. I believe it's something much more profound. I truly believe it comes from the inside out. And I'll tell you in a few minutes how I got to starting my company. But the essence that I really wanted to share and portray with you all today is, what does that look like? What does inside out leadership look like? How do we get to that state? How do we start leading our lives rather than just living our lives? And is that just a cute play on words, or is there an actual essence to leadership that we can distill in the essence of everything we do all day long? Right? From every choice that we make, from every interaction that we have, from every meeting that we hold, is there a way to really embody leadership from a more profound, deep place? And so this is just philosophically where I come from. This is actually how Catherine and I connected and started speaking. We have a couple of clients that we share in common. We had met because we were hearing, oh, wow, you should meet this other coach. You should meet this other coach. And the clients kept insisting to introduce us because we so fundamentally approach leadership from a core place of service, of gratitude, of really paying it forward and helping today's leaders and the leaders of tomorrow. And that's how we met. So I invite you throughout our time together to just open up to the possibility that leadership doesn't necessarily have to look or feel like the stereotype that we often have in our heads. So that's my invitation to you. Now, where I come from, who I am, why I am guest hosting the show. So my name is Valia, as I said, and my background is in marketing, branding, with a little bit of consulting from a management consultant point of view. I have my MBA, and I was basically years back in this business state, and I continue to serve clients. I was very successful, from objectively speaking, but there was something that was always itching inside of me. And that thing that was itching was, I always wanted to be in service of the people in the business, and what the business did mattered one degree less to me. And so where I kind of came to life and started figuring out, wait a second, there's something here. There's something about leadership. There's something about coaching and development. And it really just became the essence of who are the people who run this organization or system or process or meeting, and what makes them tick. I was always fascinated by the science of the human potential behind the business leader. And so after I was consulting for a while, I said, something isn't right about this. I don't quite like telling people what to do as the expert. I was much more compelled by understanding what happened to a person underneath the surface and really extracting that from them. They being the expert, me being more the catalyst. And so a lot of the work that I do, and Catherine does, in executive coaching space, in the leadership development space, is just that. We come with the premise that the person knows their story, the person knows their world better than anyone. Where we come in is, wow, what if I were to play back to you? What if I were to mirror to you something that you hadn't thought of, or something from a different angle perhaps, even if it's a 5-degree shift, and invite an entire discovery to happen because we were able to turn something a little bit past the perspective that you normally look at it from. So the world that I operate in is executive coaching, leadership development. What it looks like is offsites, team workshops, trainings, development, a lot of one-on-one work, executive teams. So it really runs the gamut. And it's also across scope and vertical and industry. So my clients range everything from Facebook to IBM, Digitas, Prudential, so really specializing in different verticals and going deep within the organizations that I play in is my philosophy on where I think I serve the best. So all of that big introduction, just so that you get a sense of who I am, where I come from, and just the types of speakers that I'm going to be bringing in to be having dialogues with as we continue our journey together into the summer and fall. So what I thought I would kind of talk about today is something that I find fundamental to any type of leadership development conversation that I have. Whether this is an executive at McKinsey, whether this is an intern, whether this is someone in middle management, from soup to nuts, I find the topic that we're going to dive into a little bit today at the crux of every single leadership development engagement that I have been a part of. And the topic is fear. Now, for those of you who just either gasped or roll your eyes, I ask you to just suspend your disbelief and know that underneath what stands between us and our greatest potential as leaders is some type of fear, some type of itch, some type of insecurity, of smallness. My hope in the work that I do is to help people live the biggest life that they can possibly live. Bigger than they think they are, bigger than their dreams that they're currently holding for themselves. And so when I go into an engagement and I ask people to stretch, to go bigger, to push a little bit more, what happens is they put the brakes on, whether consciously or subconsciously, right? The fear pipes up. Now, what does fear actually look like? Most of us wouldn't walk around saying, well, I'm afraid of that. It's disguised in 101 things. Right? So it's disguised as blame or judgment or insecurity or self-doubt, right? Imposter syndrome, which I'll talk about in a minute. So fear masquerades into a lot of different dichotomies and iterations, let's say. So what I invite you to do today is sit back with an open mind, an open heart, and just consider where might fear be getting in the way of my leadership. And I'll invite you again to not consider leadership necessarily as just the work that you do every day from 9 to 7. I invite you to think about leadership in the way you are leading your life, your relationships, the way you make choices, the way you interact, the way from everything, from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep, I believe is a conscious opportunity to just open the door to leading your life rather than living your life. And why does this matter? Well, I think everyone would have a very personal reason to this, but to me it goes back to that greatness. It goes back to that bigness of who are you, what do you stand for, what's the biggest that you want to be to serve on this planet. And for, again, for some of us, that might be professionally. For some of us, personally. For some of us, it iterates in terms of working for a nonprofit. I am not connected to what that is for you. I just invite you to sit back and consider, what is the biggest version of me if we were to push a pause button on this fear? If we were to be able to reframe fear, if we were able to dissect it and look at it from all different angles to really distill it in its essence, which at the end of the day, we all know it doesn't actually exist. Right? Whether you think of the old acronym, the false expectations appearing real, whether you think of it as just a thought pattern that has served you in the past but no longer serves you, it doesn't matter your definition. The point is, it is that roadblock that as we come closest to what we want, it starts rearing its ugly head. Now, in terms of types of fears, I also just want you to consider, as you're thinking about this, right? Where do these populate each day? So for some of us, it might be, well, I don't want to ask for feedback in that meeting, or I don't feel comfortable speaking in public, right? Or, wow, that's a difficult conversation, or, oh, I hate confrontation. This manifests in 101 different ways. I should probably say 1,001, right? For as many people as there are various iterations. So what I would love for you to do throughout our time together today is just start pinpointing in a very raw and honest way, what does it look like for me? When does it pop up? When does it quiet down? When is it at its ugliest? When does it sizzle, right? Just like a scientist, we put our experiment together and we start really nitpicking what my experience and what my relationship with fear is. Then what I'm going to do, and we'll do this right after the break, is ask ourselves to name it. We're actually going to name that voice in our heads, right? So for some people, we call this fear inner critic, right? I like to call it gremlin. But there's your version of what is that voice, what is that thought pattern, what is it that happens when you get really close to what it is that you want, and then you step back, right? You step back because it gets scary. You step back because it's just too much. You start stepping back because you can't go there. So that's what we're going to unfold right after the break. So I invite you to just sit back, take a couple of notes, and we'll regroup in a couple of minutes.
There's more to come with Catherine and her guests on Uncommon Sense for Leaders. Catherine returns after this short break.
If you're ready for a big change in your work, your career, your happiness, your life, it's time for the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 Central on TogiNet.com. Marla believes that with the right mindset, anything is possible. Join us as successful life coach Marla Tabaka inspires you and her clients to explore, discover, and live your dreams by developing what she calls the Million Dollar Mindset. Marla will inspire you to take action on your dreams and reveal secrets to success that will help you realize your own unique power. Tune into the Million Dollar Mindset for heartwarming stories with Marla Tabaka. Learn tips and tricks to building a successful business and unlock the secrets to creating a happier, more balanced life through abundant thinking and attraction power. For more information on the Million Dollar Mindset, go to our website, marlatabaka.com. That's MarlaTabaka.com. It's the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
This is the All Business Radio Network. ABRN.
Are you fascinated by the stories behind the stories? The people behind their masks? The truth about people's failures and redemptions? In both their business and personal lives. Then Off the Record Secrets Of with host Judy Schreiner is for you. It's people's secrets that make them interesting, but very few folks are willing to reveal them unless they trust that their information will be treated with accuracy, fairness, and respect. People have been entrusting their secrets to longtime business journalist Judy Schreiner for the last 25 years, and now she's bringing her expertise and impressive contact list. Tune in and call in as host Judy Schreiner talks to guests off the record as they reveal new secrets each Tuesday at noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central.
You're listening to Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for exploring leadership from the intellect, the heart, and the spirit. Here with more thought-provoking ideas on every aspect of leadership, Catherine Carlisi.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Valia, your guest host. Right before the break, we were talking about how we start identifying and naming our fears. And we don't talk about fear in a woo-woo, out there, crazy way. I'm talking about it in a very practical, where do we start standing in our own way? What stands between us and our greatest potential? Because until we're able to look at the dark stuff, until we're able to unravel this knot, we're not able to lead in our fullest potential, no matter where it is that we're leading, right? Personally, professionally, spiritually, across any realm of your life that you're really looking to lead at this point. So we talked a little bit about fear taking many different iterations, right? So anything from blame, judgment, self-doubt, self-cynicism, right? Insecurity, worry, anxiety, it manifests depending on each individual nature and what we're prone to. So what I often invite my clients to do, and this might sound silly at first, is we name the darn thing, right? We name, what is that voice in my head? What is that inner critic, that gremlin, that just inner voice, right? Not the intuitive one, right, that sounds calm and clear. That's the one we want to start hearing more of before fear is able to drown it out. So what does your inner critic say? Now, that sounds, you know, silly or obvious. I'm going to give you a couple of examples of what I hear from my clients across industry scope. These are senior leaders and senior executives at Fortune 1000 companies. And their inner critic sounds everything from, what if I fail? I'm not good enough. I'm an imposter. When are they going to find me out? It was luck that got me here. I think I can do it, but my company isn't structured that way, so I'm never going to succeed here, right? Tape record versions of these voices over and over and over again. I have heard them in hundreds of iterations. So we think, oh, that's benign. It's just the voice in my head. I tell it to pipe down and everything's okay. It's just not the case. And what I'd ask you to do is consider that the life that you are leading currently is much more like a projector, all right, than it is a camera. So picture a camera, right? We look through the lens, and as we're looking through the lens, you're able to see from your perspective out into the world. We think that that's the way it operates. The challenge is, if that were the case, we would all be seeing the world through similar eyes, which we know, of course, is not what happens. So I invite you, think about this as a projector. So what it is that you put into the tape of the projector is what's going to be projected out. So if what is playing in your mental tape over and over and over again is some version of I'm not good enough, what do you think is going to be manifested into your world? Right? What's manifested into your world is going to be all different types of tricky situations, right? All different types of opportunities that make you feel less than and not the personal and professional development and success that you really yearn for, right? Whether that's money, whether that's a relationship, it doesn't matter what it is. Again, as I said earlier, leading your life is how you define it, right? And in another show, we'll talk about values and how you actually get to that core brand. So if you can be with me and understand that, how do we look at this from a projector rather than a camera point of view, I ask you again, what is it that you're projecting into your projector? What is it that life is throwing back at you based on the inner critic and that voice that goes on in your head? Basically, fear manifested is what that voice is. So, some version you've all heard before of this imposter syndrome. If you haven't heard about it, it is, well, it's called a syndrome. I think that might feel a bit extreme, a bit scary, but it is essentially a way of being that we are seeing across all sorts of emerging leaders and senior leaders in organizations right now. And what it is this version of I'm not good enough, or I'm the fraud. I'm the one who got here by luck. I do quite a bit of work at the NYU Stern School, and I was teaching a bunch of, you know, new MBAs. something on strength-based leadership. And I asked them to close their eyes and put their heads down on their desks and raise their hand if they thought they were the lucky one who got accepted and they were the, let's call it, the hiring mistake. And almost every single hand went up. And I told them, keep your hands up, just open your eyes and look up. And, of course, everybody started laughing. Right? Because how can it be that we all think we're the hiring mistake or we were the lucky one or we just got in by chance when here it is, we're all having that same exact thought? That is imposter syndrome at its finest. That is fear manifest, right? Where it is saying, nope, you keep playing small. You stop because you being big is going to scare me too much and shake my world too much. So it's keeping you small. Now, of course, what is the antidote of imposter syndrome? It's us having conversations like these. It is us talking about what goes on in your head. Wow, that looks really similar to what goes on in my head. Wait, you think about that too? I thought I was the only one. Silence is what breeds imposter syndrome, and communication, vulnerability, openness, connection, sharing. These insights that go on in our heads when we think we are the only one, that is the antidote. So my invitation now is kind of step two of our journey. First, we're having the courage to look at it. And bravo to you for taking a look at it with me. Number two, we need to start identifying your version of the voice. Because until we can do that, we won't be able to notice it when it's happening and then tame it. So you need to get very clear, what is your version of I'm not blank enough? And don't tell me, you know, something superficial, right, of, oh, I don't have enough money. Or it's not about external things. You will feel it when you get to the core. Something will twinge inside of you. You're going to feel, ooh, my goodness, that is it, right? What I often hear from clients, I'm not smart enough. I'm not successful enough, right? I'm not strategic enough. So some version where I believe that I am lacking. My version was always, I'm not experienced enough, right? So I was always just, my life's pattern has been doing a lot of things at a young age, right? So I was able to start my business. I was the youngest person accepted into an executive MBA program, you know, at Columbia. And I was leading sales and marketing teams a couple of years out of college. I was a quick learner, I was a quick study, and I found myself, serendipity or otherwise, in situations where I was the youngest. Now, on the one hand, wow, that's wonderful. Great, Valia, you know, how great to see success. But what was going on inside of me was a completely different story. It was, I'm not experienced enough. I need to do more. I need to prove myself. I need to make everybody else happy except for me. Go, 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 push, push, push. And here I found myself on this perpetual treadmill, this treadmill of milestones, achievements, thinking that after I get a couple more things under my belt, then it's going to be okay. And I know many of you share that story. I can't tell you how many clients, when I open up and share a little bit about, you know, they often ask how I started my business, and I share a lot about this. Well, I wasn't experienced enough, so I kept going, doing, and they're like, wow. I thought that was just me, right? So your version, that was my version of I am not experienced enough, so it was constant proving. It was constant, I am just not good enough yet. And it always felt like I was one step behind. So your version of that, once we can identify that, okay, so now we're in step two. Once we can identify that, half the battle is over. Because what you did is you just put voice to something that was really frightening you, even subconsciously. Right now we are able to distill it down to its essence. We poked a hole into that really inflated balloon, and now it's able to release. So next time, it might twinge just a little bit less, right? And eventually, the nerve isn't even there anymore. You just see it. So now I can catch myself when an opportunity comes up and a client opportunity, and I'm about to say yes automatically because it's just my habit of course, I need more experience. Let me just keep doing more clients. Even though at this point, I mean, I've coached hundreds of organizations, thousands of clients, it's still that inner voice is just that habit. And I catch myself now. I take that moment of pause. I take a breath, right? And I insert my leadership in that moment where I say, wait a second, is this in line with the type of leadership that I teach and I train? And if the answer is not an unresounding yes in the sweet spot of what I do, now I have the courage to say no. But that has been years in the making, years of coaching, development, and self-reflection. But the only way to get to that spot is when you're able to identify what is your version of that voice. So that's step number two. Now, I want to just play out for you really quickly why this voice matters and why we are actually spending this much time talking about it. So let's say you're going into a job interview, and the voice in your head says, I'm not good enough. I'm never going to get that, right? That's way out of my league. Let's just say that that's the thought pattern. That thought pattern is leading to some feeling chemically in your body, probably one of insecurity, self-doubt, anxiety, worry, playing small, right? So you might show up in that job interview because of that thought pattern now that's creating feelings chemically in your body a little bit smaller, right? You might not ask as many questions. Your shoulders might be shrugged. You might not be as firm of a handshake or eye contact. So it's already now manifesting physically. So we went from a thought to a feeling. Now from a feeling, we're going to take an action. So what action do you do or not do based on that thought? Well, you might not speak up, right? You might not ask that question that you really wanted to ask, however it manifests in terms of behavior. And ultimately the result, you maybe got the job, you maybe didn't get the job, but you certainly weren't at your highest and best. So I call that the thought, feeling, action, result model. And it goes in that specific order. So most people think, oh, well, if it's not the thought. I felt bad. I felt insecure. I felt not confident. Feeling is the first thing we can often identify because it's the easiest thing to identify. But every single feeling is anchored into a thought that actually kicked it off. So that simple thought, right? I'm just walking into the building and that simple thought of, oh, I don't think I'm going to get this, of, oh, I'm not qualified, right? Immediately, trigger in my brain, habit, I'm not good enough, it goes back to my old programming, prove, I need to do more, now I'm insecure, I'm feeling anxious, I'm feeling like I can't be myself, I'm feeling I have to put on a show, then how I show up in the interview, I don't connect with a person because I am much more in my head, in my insecurity, in my fear, in my doubt that I am connected to the person, and then, of course, the result will manifest whatever manifests. So right after the break, I want us to look at how can we take this entire pattern and recalibrate it to really serve you rather than to stand in your way. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There's more to come with Catherine and her guests on Uncommon Sense for Leaders. Catherine returns after this short break.
If you're ready for a big change in your work, your career, your happiness, your life, it's time for the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 Central on TogiNet.com. Marla believes that with the right mindset, anything is possible. Join us as successful life coach Marla Tabaka inspires you and her clients to explore, discover, and live your dreams by developing what she calls the Million Dollar Mindset. Marla will inspire you to take action on your dreams and reveal secrets to success that will help you realize your own unique power. Tune into the Million Dollar Mindset for heartwarming stories with Marla Tabaka. Learn tips and tricks to building a successful business and unlock the secrets to creating a happier, more balanced life through abundant thinking and attraction power. For more information on the Million Dollar Mindset, go to our website, marlatabaka.com. That's MarlaTabaka.com. It's the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
This is the All Business Radio Network. ABRN.
Are you looking for something more in your life or business? More success, more stability, more happiness? It's all out there waiting for you, but it doesn't just happen. You've got to go get it. Make it happen with Michelle McCullough, where motivation and strategy intersect. Michelle is a serial entrepreneur, acclaimed speaker, and the Woohoo Radio Network's resident business and success strategist. Michelle has the smarts, strategies, and experience to help you improve your life and take your business to the next level. You've got big dreams. You've got big vision. Now it's time for you to make it happen.
You're listening to Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for exploring leadership from the intellect, the heart, and the spirit. Here with more thought-provoking ideas on every aspect of leadership, Catherine Carlisi.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is Valya, your guest host, and we have been talking about fear and how fear directly impacts the thoughts in our heads immediately, having a manifestation into the world that we live in, personally, professionally, relationships. It basically dictates how we show up. And we have taken on the challenge today of just really unraveling and unpacking those fears to see where can we have them serve us rather than stand in our way. So the invitation that we had before the break was, what is your version of that inner critic voice? What does it say to you, right, under stress? Under your kind of default patterns, in your habitual state, when something escalates, where do you go? So some version of I'm not blank enough is usually at the very core of this imposter syndrome that we've been talking about, right? Where we think we are not good enough, we are not okay enough, we are not talented enough, some version of that experience. And what we looked at right before the break was also how do we see life through the lens of an actual movie projector where the tape that we put in is what is shown rather than a camera, right? We're not just looking at it from, okay, well, I'm looking out into the world and here's I see what I see. I would love for you to consider, well, it's actually the thoughts in your brain that are programming your experience of what is out there, right? What is being shown to you, what is being revealed to you. And why this matters in terms of leadership, to make it super practical for us, this is actually impacting how you show up in terms of relationships, in terms of leading projects, in terms of confidence, right? People always ask me, well, you know, can you do a session on courageous conversations? Yes, happy to, and we can't talk about courageous conversations and having a difficult conversation until we talk about fear. Because the story that we have around confrontation is what's standing in the way of us actually having a courageous conversation. So very practical manifestations of fear, and again, the hope and the open door of what would it look like to not be operating from those patterns. So we took an example before of a thought leading to a feeling, leading to a result, leading to an action, and then ultimately leading to a result. So that's what I call the thought, feeling, action, result model. I'd like us to flip it so that you can see its power when it is not serving from a place of fear. So step one was, let's just get clear on what does this actually look like, right? Where is it that I identify fear? What is my version of it? Step two is we identified the specific voice. So my voice was, right, I'm not old enough in this industry. I'm not experienced enough. How do I coach a CEO when I am, you know, perhaps a generation younger than a CEO? And that has been my journey, right, of finding my voice through that. So I share that to have you understand what is your version of that voice. So step number three is, how do we start reframing this voice? There's a couple of different ways. I'll share my favorite way at the end. So for those who prefer sort of more practical, rational, just really a sensing way to unravel this voice is ask yourself, okay, to prove it. So what are basically the assumptions that you're making, right? When I say I'm not experienced enough, well, okay, great. So what am I assuming? Just flat out having a conversation with yourself. What are the assumptions that I'm making? And then test those hypotheses. Is there evidence to the contrary? Well, of course there's evidence to the contrary, right? Every client that I've wanted, I've figured a way to get in. I've had amazing referrals. The business has grown. So if every story you can find a way to unravel it, you also know that now you're just rationalizing and spinning in this voice that has expired. That's the beauty of starting to talk to ourselves in a way that's productive rather than hurtful. We just start poking holes in this old pattern that has taken root. So another way that you could consider this is finding a mantra, finding something that undoubtedly you stand for. So it could be, I'll give you actually an example of one of my clients recently. She said, without a doubt, I know. I asked her, what do you know about yourself no matter what? No matter what fear is in front of you, no matter what gremlin, no matter what fire at work, what do you know to be true about yourself? And that's how deep I want you to ask this question. And she said, well, I know I'm a courageous thinker. And it just came out. It was just this beautiful phrase that came out. And she said, I know no matter what, I am a courageous thinker. And I said, great. What does that let you do? Well, I can figure things out. Even if I don't feel like I'm the smartest person in the room, I know I'm creative. I know I'm able to go from left to right and dance and see the object or see the challenge and figure it out and lead my teams to success around it. Wow. So, next time the voice creeped up in her head, right, rather than it saying, I'm not smart enough, right, or I'm new to this role, I haven't figured this out, I'm not experienced enough in doing this. She was recently onboarded into a big global role. Rather than playing out that thought pattern, she was able to anchor into, I am a courageous thinker. So that's what I mean by mantra, something that you without a doubt believe about yourself, hell or high water, no matter what. And it doesn't have to do with the actual fear. So I don't need you to invert it and say, okay, well, I wasn't strategic enough and now I'm super strategic, because you're not going to believe that. Your brain is way too smart. We can't just flip it and pretend. This isn't about positive psychology. This is about actual reframing from neuroscience. Right, so that we can create a new groove in your brain every time you're about to go down the fear trajectory, you now go into 5 degrees to the right. We make a simple shift, and you're down a different trajectory, which will have an entirely different ripple effect. So let's go back to this client. So she says, I'm a courageous thinker. This is her new mantra. So we start. If that's the thought, right, that she takes that moment of pause, that moment of leadership, and she says, okay, well, I'm about to go into a stress dynamic, I'm a courageous thinker. Great. Now, the feelings in her body, so we go thought, feeling, action, result. The feeling in her body from that thought, I am a courageous thinker, all of a sudden became one of hope, courage, right? A little bit of confidence, self-love, right? There was just this grounding in her. Even as she would say it to me, I'm like, wow, I felt it. There was a vibration about it, right? So now we've got those chemicals running through the body. Confidence, openness, courage, anchoring, grounding. All right, so here we are. We've got those feelings. Then what action or inaction is going to come from that? Well, very likely she's walking into a meeting, or she's running into a project, or she's stepping in front of the board, and it is coming from a place of shoulders back, presence, right? Sidebar, people often ask me, you know, where does executive presence come from, and can you come and do something on executive presence? Again, I can't talk about executive presence until I talk about fear first. Because it's not just, you know, changing body language. And I know that's what we'd like to believe, because wouldn't that be simple? But that's oftentimes just putting a Band-Aid on something, right? To get to the root of it, right? I told you I'm all about inside-out leadership. So to get to the root and to really shift it, then we're talking about how do you anchor something and how do you reroute it from a place that is serving you rather than hurting you. So back to presence. So here she is, right? I'm a courageous thinker. Now the feelings in my body are confidence, courage, anchoring, grounding. And from there, I'm showing up in the meeting much more present, much more engaged, because I'm not in my head. I'm not worrying, ooh, what will they think of me? Ooh, did I say that? Ooh, did that sound stupid? Right? What will they think? Are they going to make fun of me? Did I not do that right? Did I say that thing? Ooh, I repeated that same mistake as last time. Oh, I'm repeating myself. Right? The chatter is nonstop. That's why Catherine and I spent all the, you know, another program with all of you talking about mindfulness, how to stop that chatter. My goodness. Right? So here she is, much more present, much more engaged, not in her head, but actually with the audience. And then the result, the final piece of the model, right? The result speaks for itself, right? There's engagement, there's questions, there's just a slam dunk meeting, or the promotion, or the salary raise, or whatever it was that you're going for in your story. So just looking at that one more time, and I'd love for you, if you haven't already, take notes on this. This is essentially executive coaching in a nutshell. This is the work that Catherine and I do with our clients over the course of six to 9 months. You start with a thought. You learn how to reframe that thought. It creates a feeling in your body, right? So we're looking to get different chemicals going in your body, different triggers, different responses. Then the feeling leads to some action or inaction or behavior. So how do we go from habit, again, to conscious choice? And then ultimately, of course, the result is a side effect. So let me tell you what most people do and why most New Year's resolutions don't work. Most people take the top two parts of that model. They try and substitute one action and expect a different result. Right? So they're like, okay, well, instead of going to the gym twice a week and I'm not losing weight, I'm going to go to the gym five times a week. Right? I put a different action and I'm expecting a different result. And we all know this and we're all giggling because the result might last 1 week, 2 weeks, maybe a month. But then we're right back to our old pattern. And why is it? Because we didn't solve at the root, right? We tried to solve the problem by just putting a Band-Aid on it. This is why New Year's resolutions don't stick. So same thing. You know, I have clients who bring me in, and they say, I just want to fix my confidence in meetings, that's all. I just want to speak up in public. Okay, great. So if we don't talk about fear, if we don't talk about this inner critic, this imposter syndrome, the inner voice, then my suggestion would just be, okay, great, so just pipe up in a meeting, right? Say something a little bit earlier in a meeting. Ask a great question. And that works, but it works temporarily because the feeling of insecurity or self-doubt or worried or sounding stupid is still going on for that individual. So what would it look like to not try and solve action for action and replace one action for another, expecting a different result, because it will be short-lived? The magic of this process is you get to the root. You get to the thought, which led to a feeling in the body, which led to an action or inaction or some type of behavior, which led to the result. So the invitation and the open door for you is, what can that mantra be? What can that unresounding, no matter what, statement be for you? Now, I have had clients where words don't do it for them, right? So I had the one client, the courageous thinker. I've had, you know, a course from soup to nuts in terms of what phrases people use. But phrases might not work for you. So some clients, try an object. For some people, it's buying an actual, you know, wristband or bracelet or some object that you might wear to remind you to go into that space of conscious leadership, to go into that space where I am not going to be driven by fear. Let me go back to what I know to be true about me. For others, it might be something visual that you put on your computer or on your phone. The minute you turn on your phone, you have something on the backdrop or on your screensaver. For others, it's something audio, right? They need to hear it, whether it's a piece of music.
There's more to come with Catherine and her guests on Uncommon Sense for Leaders. Catherine returns after this short break.
Are you fascinated by the stories behind the stories, the people behind their masks, the truth about people's failures and redemptions in both their business and personal lives? Then Off the Record Secrets Of with host Judy Schreiner is for you. It's people's secrets that make them interesting, but very few folks are willing to reveal them unless they trust that their information will be treated with accuracy, fairness, and respect. People have been entrusting their secrets to longtime business journalist Judy Schreiner for the last 25 years, and now she's bringing her expertise and impressive contact list. Tune in and call in as host Judy Schreiner talks to guests off the record as they reveal new secrets each Tuesday at noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central.
This is the All Business Radio Network. ABRN.
In today's business world, a helping hand or idea that doesn't come with an invoice is a treasured find. And if that happens to you, then you need to pay it forward to keep other entrepreneurs from making mistakes or getting a raw deal. It's called Paying It Forward with Josephine Gerasi, Wednesday mornings at 10, 9 a.m. Central. Josephine is going to have the guests describe their accomplishments, the lessons they've learned, both good and bad, and then sharing those pieces of knowledge as we create a movement of paying it forward. For more information about Josephine, her business, and background, you can go to mymomknowsbest.com. Josephine Gerasi has always been a problem solver. She saw this need and has turned it into a movement. It's Paying It Forward. With tips, tools, and advice, and hard lessons learned, these pieces of knowledge can make a huge difference for you, your business, and others. So join us for Paying It Forward with Josephine Gerasi, Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
You're listening to Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for exploring leadership from the intellect, the heart, and the spirit. Here with more thought-provoking ideas on every aspect of leadership, Catherine Carlisi.
Hello, everyone. This is Valia, your guest host. Welcome back. If you didn't realize how much I get excited about leadership development, you noticed before the break where I just kept going. So forgive me and thank you for staying with us. This stuff just never ceases to amaze me. So here we are. Right before the break, we were talking about reframing that inner critic. Right, that voice that lives in our head, and what are ways in which we can reframe it. So I was just recommending for some clients and for some folks that I work with, it's a mantra, right? It is something that you believe no matter what about yourself, something you believe in, a value, a strength, right? Something that's possible, a vision, even an intention, right? Whatever it is, something that inspires you. For other clients, it's an object. Right? Might be an object. It might be something that you wear. It might be a pen. It might be a sticky note that you keep on your computer. Anything that will engage you and allow the brain to not go into its default, but just open it up in terms of, ooh, there's 5-degree shift to the left or 5-degree shift to the right, and I didn't go down my normal habitual place. Now, that brings me to just another consideration for you when it comes to leadership. So I fundamentally believe, people always ask me, they're like, when does leadership happen, or how do you define leadership? And it feels like it might require something grand, and I don't think leadership is grand at all. In fact, I think it is one of the most subtle experiences that we can have. I believe it's the moment-by-moment choice that you make. It's all the essence of leadership is in that word choice. So rather than going through life, habit, default pattern, here I go, rote, routine, you pause and you make a choice. So it's that moment where instead of reacting, you respond, right? Instead of doing what you normally would do, you take that one deep breath and say, wait a second, let me get back into consciousness, let me just anchor and center myself, right? This is a lot of the mindfulness that Catherine and I were talking about a few shows back. How do you start choosing? Right? How do you quiet the chatter in your mind, which is what we've been talking about all show this afternoon? How do you quiet that chatter in your mind to have a moment to choose it, to have a moment to be conscious about what it is that you do? That, to me, is leadership. My work is just helping people get really good at mastering that process so that it serves you in your back pocket no matter where you are, no matter what the situation. You begin leading your life rather than just living it. You begin being the driver of your life rather than being in the passenger seat and taking pictures, right? So that is why I thought what better way to kick off my guest hosting than really talking about a subject that no matter what comes up in every single engagement that I have. Whether it's a training, a seminar, an offsite, you cannot talk about leadership until you talk about that inner critic in your head. Because I believe that those people who I would consider leaders and who have really figured out how to start leading their experience have been able to master and tame that voice, but not even to silence it, more to reframe it, right? To use that same energy that is being expended there and shifting it into what else is possible, shifting it to serve you rather than to hurt you. So we talked about a lot today. So imposter syndrome, right? We talked about that inner critic. We talked about the thought, feeling, action, result model. It's something that I really would love for you to practice. All this work of leadership is in the practice. And I know that sounds obvious, but people often ask, okay, great, so let me just jot this down and write it down, and they put it in their notebook. And I say, that's wonderful. But unless you are actively engaging in this thought, feeling, action, result model every single day at every single moment that you feel is an opportunity, it's not going to become second nature. And at the end of the day, that's what we want this to become for you, second nature to just have an opportunity to be choosing, right? To be conscious choice every single moment by moment. So I invite you think about who your inner critic is. Talk to it, right? Even if it feels a little bit nuts, that's okay. Talk to it, identify it, put your finger on it, and really ask, where is this hurting me? Where is this serving me? Another trick I want you to consider is simple binary questions. When we get into the depths of this fear and discomfort and, ooh, that blame and judgment, and this stuff is yucky. This stuff feels heavy, right? This is the crux of it. And so if you can find a way to just ask simple binary questions when you find yourself in the thick of it, it changes everything because it simplifies. It really simplifies. So simple binary question that I will just share with you is this hurting me or helping me? Simple, right? You're going through your day, something happened, you got really irritated, now that's sitting with you and it's spinning and it's spiraling, right? You're in some version of fear, right? Someone either hurt you, someone did something, insulted you. Now, you can stop in that moment, and rather than go down your normal habitual pattern, just say, hold on a second, is this helping me or hurting me? Simple binary question. You can't say both. You can't rationalize. You can't give me a story. Is it helping or hurting? Well, it's hurting me. Okay, great. So how do I reframe? That is your moment to go back to your mantra. That is your moment to go back to the thought, which is going to lead to a different feeling, action, and result. So that is why I want you to have this mantra or this word or this audio or this object in your back pocket. Those are the moments when you are triggered. And that's why we need to practice this all day long. It's like going to the gym, right? We can't expect to be at our perfect body weight and height and shape without doing this throughout the week, every week. So that's one recommendation that I would have. Without a doubt, when I see people successfully doing this, they are leading because they have consistency in the practice. It doesn't take long. What did I just invite you to do? A simple binary question. So keep that in your back pocket. Another one that I ask myself personally is what I'm doing right now, moving towards fear or love. That works for me. It really resonates because I think love is just such a powerful force that when I get into any type of spiral thinking, fear, should I do this, should I not, is it right, is it no, I just stop. Am I right now responding from fear or love? It's usually a very clear answer. Again, there's no gray area in these questions on purpose. I don't want your brain to overcomplicate it because it gets very good at rationalizing. Fear or love? Okay, it's fear. Great. So what can I do right now to replace it so that I move 1 ounce towards love or 1 ounce towards helping me or 1 ounce towards a brighter side of this? Whatever words work for you. So binary questions, a very practical tool to get you quickly out of your default pattern. Another thing I would invite you to do is get really clear on your default patterns. What are they? When are you stressed? Who are you around? What does that look like? Right? So take some time to actually look at that, to look at your triggers, to look at your stress responses, your reactions. Do you get quiet? Do you get angry, sad? Do you retreat? Do you become aggressive? Just observe it. This is without judgment. Right? Clients always feel funny when they first start opening up to a coach. They're like, ooh, I don't know, you know, thank you for listening and, you know, understanding this. And I said, there's no judgment here. This is about helping you go to the darker part of your brain. There's this quote that I love that says, the mind is a dangerous place, never veer into there alone. Right? That's it. That's this work that we are doing today, and we're just inviting a conversation to. How do you have the courage to go into that dark space of the brain without judgment, just looking at it, unraveling it like a scientist, and then putting it back together in a way that's going to help you rather than hurt you? That's the art of this. So you have a couple of pieces of homework, right? One is to practice the thought, feeling, action, result model. See what the current habits are. So play with a dark thought that really doesn't serve you. Play it out. See how it manifests. And then what is that new thought that you believe about yourself fundamentally, no matter what? Okay? Take a look at that. The other thing, start practicing those binary questions. When you're in the thick of it, right, and you don't have time to go back to your journal or to go back to your notes, binary question, is this helping me or hurting me? Is this moving towards fear or love? Is this who I want to be or not? right? Use the power of not thinking to get that intuitive response to get you right back on track. And the third piece of homework, I would love for you, get really clear on your stress patterns and reactions. Where are you? Who are you with? What are you doing? Just keep a laundry list going, because then when they happen, you're not surprised. And when they happen, you become in control of them. You become one step ahead of them because you have already taken a look at them. Do you see? You start becoming the teacher of them. You start becoming the owner of them rather than feeling at the mercy of them and running from behind. That's the beauty of all of this. We identify it. We put words to it. We shed it to light, so that its power diminishes over us. And then the projector that we're using, back to our analogy, is something that is manifesting into the world exactly what we want. It's the way we want to be leading our lives, not from a place of fear or anxiety or worry or stress, right? But from a place of power and love and confidence and self-worth. And what I believe is leadership, right? When we have the power to be the biggest and best version of ourselves. So before I say goodbye, I just would love to, for those of you who don't know the beautiful quote from Marianne Williamson, I'd love to share it with you. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us most. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. You are meant to shine as all children do. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. So I'll just let that simmer and resonate with all of you. And thank you for joining me today. Thank you for the adventure that we are going to have together. I'm thrilled and honored to be your guest host. I'll be joining you again the second Wednesday of every month. So the next time will be Wednesday, June 10th at the regular time. We all wish Catherine a very, very happy birthday and a huge thank you for inviting me into this beautiful world. And I look forward to getting to know a lot of you, sharing some great guests and clients I'll bring on board to really just explore this paradox of leadership, which is the world that I love to play in. And for all of you, I just invite you to go there, look at the fear, unravel it, do the best that you can, and I will, with an open invitation and open arms, look forward to continuing the journey as we move on forward together. So until next time, wishing you all the best in your own personal leadership journey, and I will see you in a couple of weeks. Thank you so much. Have a great afternoon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for examining leadership from the perspectives of intellect, heart, and spirit. We're committed to bringing you the insights and information you need to take you from where you are to where you want to be as a leader. So we want to know more about you, our listeners. What did you listen to today's show that struck a chord with you?